The following program was pre-recorded on WFAN. It's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you for the next 30 minutes, a frank, open, honest conversation about gambling addiction and gambling addicts. Joining me, as always, is Dan Trelaro. Danny, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Craig. Good morning. How are you today?
Doing good and happy to have from Nebraska, Mike joining us. Mike was on the show a number of years ago, so it'd be good to get an update on how he's doing. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's just give people a little background before we get an update on what's cooking with you. How long has it been since your last wager?
I have been bet-free since December 14th of 2020, so today is day 1612 of being bet-free, and I do count every single day, and I'm blessed to have every single day in recovery.
So walk me through the 4 years or so of recovery compared to, I don't know, let's say the 4 years prior to recovery. How much different is life?
Oh, the 4 years prior to recovery were a train wreck. I've been a problem gambler for over 30 years. Started in my family when I was 9 years old. Come from a family of addiction, mental health concerns, all of that. So to get away from that was a huge step. Probably the last 4 years, ironically enough, are probably the worst 4 years of the whole thing. Really in a lot of debt, just from a mental health perspective, had really spiraled. The pandemic really sent me down a dark path. So once I decided to enter treatment in December of 2020, my life has definitely changed for the better. After about a year of treatment, I started working for a treatment center here in Nebraska. It's the largest treatment center in the state for problem gambling, the same one that I received my treatment from. And everything has gone amazingly from a professional and personal standpoint since.
Great. And I want to get to the good stuff in a second. Just for, again, for people that don't know your story intimately, because they don't remember the last time you were on, give me an idea at the height of your gambling, what a day looked like for you.
I was just trying to find action wherever I could. I originally started out as a sports bettor. I started out as a card player, but it really morphed into anything and everything. In Nebraska, we have skill touch machines at almost every bar and every gas station here. So those would be a place that I'd go on a daily basis. Keno, casinos, you name it. Even towards the end, for the last year or so, I really got into a lot of day trading, a lot of crypto trading, where it wasn't doing, I wasn't doing anything for investment purposes. I was treating it like an online slot where I was just going on and making 10 to 15 trades a day. And I was focused on all of that. I wasn't focused on a career. I wasn't focused on being a good dad. I wasn't focused on my family. The gambling was truly ruining my life day by day. And I knew that if I didn't do something about it, I was either going to end up in jail or dead.
I want to bring Dan in on that because I want you to tell a little bit more of that story before, again, we get to the good stuff and what's happening with you now. Dan, I'm wondering, over the last 12 years, as you've gone from compulsive gambler yourself in the financial sector, behind bars, rebuilding your life, and now having this amazing life, very much worth living, is there a huge number, or I guess an increased number, of men and women that are now seeking help that are coming specifically from the financial sector?
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't know that we've seen a lot of research on that, and I think it's needed. What we do know, just looking at articles and looking at the flow of money, is that there's less money pouring into the market on average, you know, all things considered, but we're seeing an increase in sports betting. So the money's going somewhere, and we see a clear connection between, say, stock market investing, day trading, handicapping sports. They come with the same kind of characteristics of research, preoccupation, et cetera. And there's certain personality traits that lend themselves to both day trading and even sports betting. So I can see where that makes perfect sense. And I think there needs to be, and again, there needs to be more research across the board on gambling in the U.S., and this is one area that needs heightened attention.
Because, you know, I remember, I'm going back, you know, 20 years here now. My dad and I were invited to a country club to play in, like, a golf tournament. And we're sitting at lunch in the grill room at this golf club. And I was actively gambling on sports. And my dad and some of his buddies, not a significant amount, but, you know, had purchased a couple stocks. And we were having this big debate as to what's the bigger risk. Me betting on a ball game where I know the stats and facts of every single player playing in the game versus you investing your money in a stock you know very little about. And there's an argument back and forth about how I'm gambling, but they're not gambling. But the reality of it, and you lived it, and Mike, you lived it as well, when you're day trading, you're gambling, period, stop.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And you know, because it comes back to, like, we're not worried about the technical definition of gambling, right? In
right.
both cases, you're risking something of value, you know, oftentimes your own hard-earned living or cash, in hopes of making that value grow, right? Whether stock market appreciation or a return on a sports betting investment, as some people would call it, a bet. And there's risk or uncertainty in both. So in all three, it meets the definition of gambling-type behaviors or activity. And we could debate it till the cows come home, but both cases, there's risk, yeah. reward, and uncertainty. Yeah, you're right.
So, Mike, let me bring you back in here. So you're obviously out of control, you know, gambling and taking financial risks. And as you said, you're going down a bad road, and, you know, you put your family in jeopardy, et cetera. Give people, if you don't mind sharing the intimate details of the last time you did it, like the time that made you now say, okay, I'm in trouble, I better get my ass into recovery. What was that last day like prior to?
The funny thing about my story is that I didn't have this big epiphany. I didn't have this big rock bottom. I personally believe that rock bottom's whatever you want to make it. I had a shovel for many years. I kept digging deeper and deeper. But for me, on December 14th of 2020, I just remember I was actually in a city about an hour away from where I'm living now, and was in a keno parlor playing keno, playing skill touch machines, playing pull taps, doing three different gambling activities at once, also day trading and doing all that stuff on my phone, setting up my daily fantasy stuff. I was doing five or six different gambling activities at once. I remember leaving that keno parlor today. I was only there for an hour or two, lost a pretty small amount of money in comparison to what I've lost in the past. I just remember leaving there that day feeling a level of exhaustion that I'd never felt before. I was just exhausted by this whole lifestyle of all the lies, of all the constant dopamine hits up and down, the emotions that I was feeling. I just remember just being so tired and finally making that call. And so fortunate that in Nebraska we have free treatment for anyone who's struggling through the Nebraska Gamblers Assistance Program. So I was able to make the phone call, get myself into treatment, and start this process going.
And I think it's awesome that Nebraska has that and that you took the opportunity to take advantage of it. Let's take a quick break. When we continue, we'll hear the good stuff from Mike and Dan. This is Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you, Dan Chilaro, and Mike joining us from Nebraska. Mike, it sounds like life is great for you right now, and I'm under the impression that you have, I wouldn't call it an announcement, but you want to share some good news that you have a new gig or something new in your life that's very positive. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. And it's been a process over the last 4.5 years of getting to this point. So like I mentioned before, about a year after my recovery, getting into recovery, I started working for a treatment center here in Nebraska. I became a disordered gambler. I took all the classes to become a disordered gambling counselor. Became a peer support specialist, gambling recovery specialist, board-approved recovery advisor, did everything I could to learn as much as I could about the addiction, and really started working a prevention gambling program through the treatment center that I worked for. I was working with different college campuses, high schools, inpatient treatment facilities, community groups, whoever I could talk to about the consequences of problem gambling and treatment resources. Been doing this for about 3.5 years. in March, I was very blessed to be named the executive director of the Nebraska Council on Problem Gambling. So for me, that's going to be a huge step forward in making sure that the entire state knows more about my own lived experience, but knows more about the dangers of problem gambling, getting some responsible gaming to them, and just being a resource out there for anyone who needs it.
Well, let me say, congratulations. That is awesome. And there's nothing better than the lived experience part of this, so that, you know, people that come in now looking for help know that they can look you in the eye and respect the fact that you were on a similar journey. You know, Dan, you used to work in the same office in New Jersey. Your thoughts on Mike advancing to this spot?
Yeah, you know, Mike, congratulations. You and I have known each other now for a bit, and we worked together in Nebraska, and, you know, it's well-deserved and well-earned, right? And it's the actions that get us to that point. I remember when I came out of prison, I was on supervised release. My first job was serving pork sandwiches at the lunch shift for $5 an hour. And it's very humbling, you know, and there's a difference between being humiliated when our ego is really big, yep, versus being humbled when our ego is in check. And just keeping that process, keeping that attitude, allowed the process to continue. And you know, my first job was education with the New Jersey Council on Compulsive Gambling. I was granted an opportunity. It was a blessing. And it could just lead to just great things one day at a time, while always keeping that ego in check, right? Because it's about the mission, right? It's the purpose and the principles over the personality, as we always say. And just congratulations, Mike. It's well-deserved.
No, I think it's great that addicts who have found recovery for themselves are now dedicating their lives to helping other people. I wonder, though, Mike, you know, as gambling has evolved over the last, let's say, 3 to 5 years, what is the message you give to the young guy or gal that hasn't quite stopped, acknowledges that they're gambling in some manner beyond their means or out of control, and they come to you just for advice? What do you tell them?
The best thing that I tell them, the first thing I tell them is that the truth will set you free no matter what. We talk about in any of my presentations or anything we talk about is that whatever you're doing, we always go with the whole lies and limits. If you have to lie to someone about what you're doing and you can't set limits on time, energy, and money on what you're doing, then it's a problem. It doesn't matter if it's gambling or drinking or toxic relationships or whatever it is. If you can't set those limits and you have to lie about it, then it's probably a problem. And that's the easiest way that I can articulate that to anyone. And if you can get to a point where you can be transparent and talk about what you're doing, the truth will set you free. So having that first conversation, if you think something's wrong, say if you're struggling yourself or you know somebody that's struggling, just have that first conversation. We can find the resources for you moving forward from there.
I wonder, when you look back on your life, you know, before you got help, and I do this with myself, and Dan and I talk about this from time to time, when you look back on your experiences with the clarity you now have, how do you feel about the person that you used to be when gambling dominated your life?
Well, I was only a shell of who I knew I could be. And for many years of my life, I had degrees, I had done the right things, gone to church, lived a decent life, and thought I was a decent family man. But I was only truly doing the surface level stuff. And I wasn't passionate about who I was and what I could be. Once I got into recovery, I truly realized who I can be and what I can give back. And when you open up that portion of your mind, your body, your soul to be able to do that, you can move mountains. And I feel like that I'm finally at a place in my life where I can do that. And I know you two do that every day and what you're doing as well.
Yeah, there are still some days, to be completely transparent with both of you, where it's not every day, but certainly some days now and then, where I look back and I get mad at myself because it's so obvious to me now that what I was doing wasn't, you know, smart. You know, I was risking my freedom. I was risking my family's future. My job, you know, that the only job I ever wanted, which I had, and we were wildly successful and all that. There are still days I do look back and I'm what? You know, I'll be 7 full years coming up in a month without gambling in any way, shape, or form, that I look back and I beat myself up about it. And I'm wondering, Dan, I'll start with you, if you guys ever do the same.
Yeah, you know what? And the one thing I do, Craig, I do. And I've learned it doesn't happen as frequent anymore. You know, my journey of recovery is now 15 years. And what I realize is I think about it and reframe it as a blessing. So I'm blessed and I'm thankful that I now am in good sound mind, that I have the mental faculties and the capacity to think that way. Because for a long time, nothing else mattered. It was selfish. Yeah. It was, you can't see when you're in the middle of addiction. That's what addiction does. It just strips you away from connection and relationship. It isolates you in the corner, kicks the crap out of you, and spits you back out the other side, and you do it again. And having the ability to see that clearly, as you always say, with clarity, right? And it gets clearer as the years move on and the days move on, at least on my end. And it's like, yeah, I say, what was I thinking? You know, but in the same token, what I threw away may not have really been aligned or meant for me to begin with, you know? And when we think about our purpose in life, maybe this is the purpose, right? Because this is the purpose that we've been called for. And so just kind of, I always reframe it that way, and it doesn't diminish the hurt and the trouble and the damage that I caused. But I know now that each day I'm moving in the right direction, trying to be just a little bit better.
And how about you, Mike? Do you ever beat yourself up when you look back on the, you know, the bad decisions, the silly things you did?
I would echo a lot of what Dan said there, and it is getting better for me. I had a lot of regrets when I first started in treatment, when I first started in recovery. But the further along as I've gotten through recovery that much more, I realized how important, how powerful my lived experience has been. And without having that, do I wish I wasn't an idiot for 30 years of my life? Absolutely. But I also know that my story has power. And without that lived experience, I wouldn't be who I am today. So I've had to make amends with the people in my life who I've hurt. But after making that, now I just have to keep looking forward. And we all have good days and bad days. And that's what recovery is all about, is understanding those, being clear about those, being transparent about that, and just living the fullest life you can possible from today moving forward.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming back on. Congratulations again. Executive Director of the Nebraska Council on Responsible Gaming is awesome. I look forward to breaking bread with you one day soon. If I can ever return the favor, please don't hesitate to reach out. And thank you so much for coming back on and sharing your story. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Craig. And thank you, Dan, for everything you've done for me as well. And appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
You know, it's been a couple of years since we last talked to Mike, Dan, and to see where he's at today compared to the last time we spoke to him is just awesome. And it's a reminder to people who, I think at least, who are in the middle of the struggle still, who haven't quite figured out recovery yet, or maybe they haven't even started recovery yet, that there is a great life worth living on the other side of this. And I think a lot of times people aren't able to see the light at the end of the tunnel and can't possibly imagine life, a good life, successful life, without gambling being a part of it. And when you hear a story like Mike's, like mine, like yours, and all the other people who've joined us on the show, it's so refreshing to remind people at stage one of this that if you get to recovery, everything you want in life is still available for you.
Yeah, Craig, you're right. And it's, you know, it's great to hear the success stories, right? Because you and I both talk to and counsel and consult with so many, it seems like these days, more young and emerging adults than ever, right?
Yeah.
And, I think about where they are right now struggling, male, female, West Coast, East Coast, doesn't matter. And then to hear Mike's story, you know, it's some of the most, I've realized over time in recovery, some of the most compassionate people and some of the most real people that I really get along with and I really enjoy talking with are people who have had addiction of any kind. And when they're in recovery, it's like, it leads to compassion. And you know, when you lead with compassion in life, things also start to go in the right direction because you're putting others first. And, you know, when we were in the middle of our addiction, Craig, I mean, I put myself first all the time, you know, even though I'd say I wasn't. But at the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow, I put myself first all the time and not in a positive way either. And it's just, it's great to hear Mike's story. You know, he's come so far and I've known him now for several years and it's just good to see him continuing to move that way.
Well, I always appreciate your time, Dan. We'll continue doing the show as long as they allow us to do it. And I think these stories and hearing people's lived experiences is changing the dynamic one little bit at a time. But I think it's very, very powerful. And I can't thank you enough for getting people like Mike to come on and hearing people share their stories because they're real and they're raw and I think people need to hear more of them. So we'll do it again next week. Always appreciate your time. Dan, you have a great weekend. This is Hello, My Name is Craig. Joe Beningo's next, right here on WFAN.